Yeah. See, weekend, nice and clear, ready to go. I have a bone to pick. I don't know who my bone is to pick with, but I did play golf on Saturday morning, and I didn't. Nobody told me they were posting anything. I didn't do it. So one of my playing partners did a sneaky post.
Okay.
So I don't think I like that.
Don't you need like approval for that?
Yeah. You know, as a talk radio phenomenon, sure. Yep. As somebody that talks on AM radio daily, I would like to have final directorial 100%. Approval of all social media posts that involve me.
You know what you should do?
It's not a lot to ask, is
you know
it?
What you should do? Sue him.
Just present the
take his ass to the bank.
Yeah, just got to put
Supreme Court.
What's the thing? The little blue folded in threes that they hand in Law and Order, where they always hand you something. Oh, the motion. I should present him with a motion that's saying you've been sued by
serve him his papers.
Am I wrong? I mean, don't you kind of have to get a green light on that?
Especially if you didn't want people to know what you were doing, and then they chose to post. And it's like, dude, you already knew it was kind of low
yeah.
key. Why you got to do me
and
like that?
And it's not
that's
even
right.
that you're like
see?
Hiding anything.
No.
It's just, can I know that you're going to put something up on
yeah.
social?
Yeah. See? Now I'm getting more worked up. I wasn't doing it. Everybody knew where I was.
Do.
I wasn't doing it on the down low.
Where does he live?
But he lives in my neighborhood. You want his address?
His actual address.
No.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction, Travis. Come on. It's just a picture.
You just drive directly to his house after the show and confront him face to face.
I think we're playing again tomorrow. So we'll see whether or not we can throw that up there.
So we figured out that you thought that we're good to go because that trap wasn't there anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went because I don't know why, but I was like, what is even behind the vending machine? Because, you know, there's some space now. They took out one of the vending machines.
Yes.
They just moved it.
They
just moved it. It's still there.
So
it's still there. I just want you to know now it's behind the vending machine. So whatever you felt better about, take that away.
Okay. I can't be the only one that's thinking this right now, right? We're all thinking the same thing. If you had to put it closer to the vending machine, why would you have to put it closer to the vending machine?
Well, I think I had to put it closer to the vending machine because where it was currently located, where someone like myself thought I was doing a good deed, picked it up.
Uh-huh. Okay, that could be one reason.
And then it's like, well, we got to get it out of the vision of
yep.
everybody.
Okay, it could be that. There's another reason. Am I the only one going there?
There's a
that's
rat in the vending machine.
There you go. That the rat
like
is getting
engine?
In the machine.
Ew.
Just saying. I mean, otherwise, I don't know. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm just saying that's what my mind went to.
I would say if I had to put myself in the shoes of a rat.
Okay.
And I was walking around the office and looking for opportunities to eat something. And I saw a vending machine filled with Doritos and Lay's and Snickers and
Rice
M&Ms
Krispie Treats.
And Rice Krispie Treats.
Those are good.
And cookies, some kind of cookies. Would you not? Just take a second. Get out of who you are for a quick second.
Okay.
You are a rat walking around the 710 ESPN offices. You're not going to try to figure out how to get to that vending machine.
No,
you don't want a bag of peanuts?
Why not? Maybe he likes Juicy Fruit or
you
Double
You don't
Mint.
Want a Cliff Bar?
Nobody likes those. That's fine.
You want those snack wells?
Even
what
a rat,
are those, the snack
even
wells?
Even a rat's like snack wells. I'm not eating that.
Snack wells are the cookies.
Yeah. They have that. They're those fake cookies, though, right? They're the ones that don't have the real sugar and all the other stuff. I think they're
those
the fake
don't
ones.
Have them?
Yeah, there's one of those. Hey, you know, these cookies are sugar-free, so you eat 84
you don't
of them.
They still taste like they have sugar in it anyway.
You don't want a Kit Kat?
That's all right.
You want a Butterfinger? Of course you do.
That's better. That's upset. Laura, that's enough. That's more than enough of the rat sound effects. My goodness.
But we got a mascot here.
Can't we get the guy in like the lab coat from TV who comes in here and squirts stuff along the baseboards? Can't we get that guy?
You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start, whatever I bring for breakfast, I'm going to start putting it behind the vending machine. This guy's working too hard.
You might have seen you. You got your banana, your toast, a little peanut butter.
He's
just
working too hard.
Out there. You should have, you know,
you should probably
do?
Name him next.
You should name him, yes.
Yep.
Capture him, and you should just sit on your shoulder while you do the show. You just, you know, like sometimes you'll go down to where you go, like the pier where all the people hang out with weird stuff.
I'm sympathizing.
Like, go down to Venice.
Him. Guy's starving.
I'll
Flea
be
would
a snake.
The rat master.
Get this guy something.
I'll get the boa constrictor. You get the rat or a cockatiel or something to sit on your shoulder.
Ratatouille.
There you go. We'll be the guys that do shows with animals on our deal.
Just looking out for him.
All right. So, AD, we were talking about that earlier before we went to factor
right.
cap. You can't do it now, right? I mean, I understand the instinct. I've been advocating to kind of, hey, let's hit the let's go again.
Is the question, you can't do it now, or is the question, can you get a lot of value for him if you try to do it now?
Could, because, okay, tell me if I'm wrong here.
Okay.
As I look at it, Anthony Davis would be useful for a team that's close but feels like they need that push over the top, right?
Yep.
I don't think Anthony Davis is somebody that you're bringing in to start from scratch, to start over. Hey, we're, you know, a bottom-tier playoff team or out of the playoffs, and Anthony Davis is going to take us to where we need to
you're go. You're Dallas. You don't have enough talent, but you're good. And you feel like you're, I mean, I know that sounds so stupid. You're an AD away. I mean,
right.
Of course not.
Right.
You know, like, because a lot of teams would
it'd have
feel
to be that,
way.
Situation.
Yep.
There aren't a ton of those teams around, mm-hmm. right? Because he's not just coming in to be a complimentary guy.
No,
he's a 1A guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be your best player as often as he's not. Only you don't know if he's going to show up on every night. It's his value is completely impossible to determine right now.
So the only reason why I said, we're having the conversation, and neither Travis and I think that LeBron or Anthony Davis or any of these guys are going anywhere, so that's less the conversation. But what kind of value would be there for a guy like Anthony Davis? I actually still think you'd have a handful of teams that would give you, hey, here's some draft compensation, here's some other players that we feel like maybe with your team could complement LeBron James better than this guy only playing 40 games or mm-hmm. 45 games. I think you'd have a pretty good handful of teams that say we can give some real value for Anthony Davis. I don't think that's a stretch.
Real value is the question, though, right? Real value is high picks and good players.
But here's a question, you know, for the Lakers, you're not in a stage, and this is why all these conversations stop. The Lakers have continued to signal we ain't trying to rebuild anything. So no matter what you got for a guy like Anthony Davis, you're assuming whatever you get for AD, you're still competing. That, hey, we're still using LeBron to
yeah.
compete, that we're still trying to figure out a way to get back into the conversation. And that's what I think makes it so difficult as well, is you're probably going to get a lot of younger players of compensation.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. The Suns are out. They blew I don't even say they blew Game 7, because blew Game 7 means at some point you had a chance to win it. What's the what is?
They cut it down to 30 at halftime.
What is it when the game is over halfway through the second quarter? That's not blowing it. What is that in a Game 7? Just a no-show? Is that what it is? I guess that's what that is.
Demolished, destroyed, choked. I saw a lot of choking there.
But choke means it got close and you buckled at the big moment.
Or
they were
choke,
never in the game.
Or choke can mean it's game seven. You
yeah,
all need
maybe.
To step up
okay.
and you're down 40.
Anthony Edwards has a word for it.
I remember when we were playing Phoenix. They were talking so much telling us we better make the playoffs. We ain't going to make the playoffs. We out of the playoffs, but y'all, this is a disgrace, bro.
Okay, that's Minnesota Timberwolves player
yep,
Anthony Edwards. Can I just say, look, I really dislike it when people put me in a position to do something that I don't want to do. I don't want to defend Chris Paul. I don't want to defend the Phoenix Suns. They laid the egg of all eggs
yep.
in Game 7. Dude, you guys need to stop. the Minnesota Timberwolves guys cannot be the guys.
I think they can be.
Anthony Edwards, who's been in this league for 4 seconds, Patrick Beverley, who gets moved every other season,
yeah.
can't be the guys that are just lining these guys up and picking them off one by one.
He said it perfectly there. He said, look, I know we're out.
Yeah.
I think the thing that bothers you and me about Chris Paul bothers some of the certain players out there in the league. So the Anthony Edwards piece or the Patrick Beverley piece from this morning on First Take, I think there's a part of them that, like, wait, what have you guys accomplished? You won 60-plus games. You lose by 40-plus, or you're down 40-plus in a Game 7 at home. Chris Paul walks around like he's won 3 or 4 championships in a row. I think the thing that irritates you and I when we talk about Chris Paul specifically, I think there's probably some of his peers that feel the same way. Why was Twitter so excited to see Chris Paul
yeah,
and the Suns fail yesterday?
That's my question. Not just Twitter. Like, I get that. Look, Twitter is filled with angry, hostile people.
MySpace was blowing up.
Okay? Angry, hostile sports fans that can say, hey, buddy, you suck
yeah,
to Chris
yeah.
Paul.
Yep.
I'm whatever. They're going to do that to everybody. I don't really care. What's unusual to me is that a lot of NBA guys are putting their names to it, that a lot of media people who typically don't are putting their names to it, that there's this Chris Paul is not that guy, and I told you, and now he's still doing it. he's still walking around. That we like those moments where we say, dude, you are not what you think you are, and here's another piece of proof. And that's what it is with Paul, because he walks around like he's LeBron James, like he's Magic Johnson, like he's Kobe Bryant. Dude, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You are not that guy. And not just because of bad, like, for instance, I want to say it's in Karl Malone and John Stockton never won an NBA championship together, okay? But it wasn't because they kept blowing it. It's because the other teams were better than they were most of the time. That's not the case with Paul. Patrick Ewing does not have an NBA championship. It's because friggin' Michael Jordan yep. was in his way the entire mm-hmm. time, okay? That makes sense to me. Chris Paul, that's not what's happening right here. He's only been to the finals once, and they had a 2-0 lead when they got there. And he blew that one, too.
I thought it was...
What is it?
I thought it was interesting that a lot of people were really, really enjoying
yeah.
this meltdown, because it's not like the Suns were the LeBron James Heat.
No.
It wasn't that.
Precisely.
It's not like they were, I don't know, you can go look at the KD Warriors. It wasn't that. It was a franchise that's never won a championship, yet you were kind of isolating individual Al. Players and saying to yourself, I'm enjoying them losing.
What was it? It was a month or two. No, it wasn't that long. A couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. When John was trying to talk me into picking a team in the playoffs, right? Because once the Lakers were on, I'm like, I'll watch it, but yeah. I'm not feeling it, right? And he made a very compassionate case
felt, yep.
for the Phoenix Suns. And Monty Williams is this unbelievable human being that in the face
True.
Of tragedy
yep.
displayed this amazing amount of grace mm-hmm. and humility. And, okay, that's really – the second I saw Chris Paul on the court, I'm like, no, never. Never. I don't care if the team had 11 Monty Williams on it. If Chris Paul's the 12th guy, I'm out.
I think a lot of people felt that way. Okay, am I making too much of this as well, that I think there was also – wait a minute. Is Luka doing something at such a young age? Is Luka starting to remind you a little bit of, remember Bron versus the Pistons early on in his career? Remember Magic? I'll use Magic as an example. Is Luka at the beginning of what could be something special? Of course, we all know how good he is. But was part of this also, it wasn't just Chris Paul and the Suns losing. It was, I get to see Luka move on. Luka's going to the Western Conference Finals. Luka's doing everything that he's doing against the Suns in this Game 7.
I think what you said about Luka is right. I think everybody's at that point in our experience with Luka where we're pulling for him. We want to see him do well. We want to see him go further. We want to see him make a run to a title. They could have been playing the Minnesota Timberwolves with a bunch of guys like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I guess I was doing the same with the Pelicans.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't matter who's there. It's just I want him to lose. Why? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I really want him to lose. I don't like the way he conducts himself. Well, what's he ever done? Well, I don't know. He's a little dirty. He's a little chippy, and he just thinks he's a little better than he always is. They're just he gives off that energy that I probably like that guy energy.
Yeah, I probably was rooting for Valanciunas as if he was the greatest setter of all time during the Pelican-Sun series.
I am in. Ask Laura. I like that a lot. Ask Laura coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Emily had a very good idea, despite her throat sounding like she's been yeah. chewing broken glass all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had a lot of water polo games.
Six. 1-5.
Yep.
So we're trending in the right direction.
Yelling.
We're doing...
Yelling at everybody.
Yeah. Well,
she was upset at the players.
Timmy, Tommy,
and
Petey.
She was upset at the parents.
Yeah.
She was going after everybody.
The shot clock was all wrong.
Shot clock was...
Okay, stupid question time. What's the shot clock in water polo?
It's... 30 seconds
total.
And it resets for every foul.
Fouls?
Yeah.
There's
ejections. Yep. So it's kind of like hockey offsides. Where you can have a man-up situation.
Is there offsides, Emily?
There is. You can't be within the 2 meter.
Look at you.
He's
who's,
got it.
Who's the most famous water polo player ever? Give me one.
You couldn't ask
Marco
me.
Marco Polo.
Okay.
Yep, she got it.
Yes, he's an explorer, a water polo player, and also one of the great commercial pitchmen.
That's
of
pretty
all
good.
Time.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You're
right
over there
the
like Mr.
There.
Water Polo. Yeah, no, inside the two meter, two five. I don't know.
Two meter.
Called. 2 meter.
I always wait 0.5 seconds after she says it, and then I go 30.
Pretty well done. All right, so Emily's good idea was we've done Ask Taylor, we've done Ask Slee, we've done Ask Emily, we didn't ask Trav. But Laura is here kind of pinch hitting for Taylor today. So we're going to do a little Ask Laura. Are you ready, Laura?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to start here with Jason Torres says, you have to play musical chairs with the three shows. Who are you putting together and at what time slot?
Ooh. So I would trade Mason and Ireland for you guys.
Just time slot wise?
Yeah, just time slot wise.
Okay. So they go 10 A to 1 P.
Yeah. So just keep them together. But then I would move Slee into the midday, right? So, and then Cap.
So me and Sedano together?
You and Sedano together.
What do you think about that, Al?
Because I think Alan and Sedano would just go bam, bam all the time. So, you know, trying not to
see,
have them
so
killed.
Disagreeable. I think she just said you're a disagreeable radio partner.
That's not what I said at
so
all.
So it's you and Cap doing a show?
Yeah.
No,
me and Sedano.
Sedano
and
Trav,
doing a show.
Alan and Cap, and then Em and I stays together.
Okay.
But then I would move Lindsay to...
Everyone's getting moved.
Yeah,
she's moving everybody.
So Lindsay would go with Cap and you.
Okay.
And then, well, Greg's... I just feel like Em and I stays together because I don't... You know, that's my boss too, so I'm not trying to mess with that.
Okay.
And then Emily comes with Sedano and Trav.
All right.
There it is.
There you go. Although I don't like that, not because of George, but I like having my afternoons free. I like being in the middle of the day, Slee. Get a little morning time. You get a lot of afternoon time.
It's a good slot.
It's not bad. It's not
you kind of sold me on that early on. You're like, Slee,
I've done every shift there is to do in radio other than overnights. Yeah. I have not done like the 2A to 6A. Mm-hmm. I have not had that one. That's me knocking on the table. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But this one, I'm just throwing it out there, is not a bad one to do it. All right, next one. This is from Jesse Garcia. Jesse Garcia writes, Laura, hashtag ask Laura. You get asked out by a guy you find attractive, but he dislikes sports. What's your move?
Ooh, I've been there, done that, and I've dated them. So
does it hurt the relationship or not at all?
I mean, a little bit, but as long as he can dance and he's a, you know.
Okay, dance well or he just doesn't mind dancing?
No, he has to dance well. Other stuff works.
He doesn't like you, Travis.
Then I'm out because
other
I
stuff
like
works
dancing.
Better
I'm just terrible.
Well,
I like how Travis
better.
Threw that in. No, but no rhythm, right? He doesn't have to have a rhythm. He just needs effort. Effort in dancing.
My dancing is unspeakably terrible, yet I enjoy myself immensely.
Okay, but see, but you like sports.
I
do. There's the thing.
But I'm a terrible dancer.
But you like sports.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't like sports. He has to have
is,
a good dancer.
I don't know, very similar to Usher when it comes to
dancing. Oh, I hate Usher.
If Usher had two broken femurs, that's about how I would dance. Yes.
I hate Usher.
All right, Laura, I got mine. So, in this vein, what is the first thing that you look for in a partner? Hashtag ask Laura.
So... Look wise, or
I say look first and then personality trait.
Okay, looks. He has to be tall. This is a thing for me. I like climbing trees, so
I
gotta
how,
go.
How tall? Just how tall?
My boyfriend's 6'2".
Like six foot? Okay, six
my
foot.
Boyfriend's like 6'2".
Is there a minimum like 5'10" and below is a non-starter?
Yeah, it's. I was kind of talking to a guy, and he's like, I'm 5'9" and a half. Girl, I'm like,
by
no,
the way,
you're
okay,
not.
But what if you know this rule? The second you hear and a half, it's a lie. Right? They're trying to squeeze in a little extra. In
oh,
there.
We know.
Yeah,
so Laura, like what if he's like 5'6" and you're like the perfect guy? Other than that.
By definition, if he's 5'6", by Laura's rule, he's not the perfect
guy.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. And then personality, he has to make me laugh.
It's a good one.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, go for it.
Let's say you were in an Uber.
Okay.
Good
and
start.
And the driver is going around 55 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But she's really nice.
Uh-huh.
She's an older lady.
Oh, this is not where I thought it was going to go. Okay.
This is an older lady. Do you give her a 5-star rating even though you didn't have, let's say, the best experience?
Hell no. You give her the rating that she needs.
Thank you.
Excuse you.
Thank you
suck.
Laura.
I'm going to let you know you suck.
Well, no, she doesn't suck. She's just driving
if
slower.
If she drives 50 miles an hour on the freeway.
55 miles per hour.
We live in L.A. That means you suck.
Thank you.
This poor girl.
She gets it. John in Huntington, you can only have one for the rest of your life. Menudo or pozole?
Menudo, 100%, because I'm always drunk half the time.
You need a hangover cure.
I'm going to be real. I like wine. Just saying.
Are you team Menudo, Slee?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Once in a while. Once in a very way.
Menudo is heavy, but it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I like my wine, man.
I get
and
that.
Tequila.
There are other ways to go. All right, here you go. 805 Raider. How did your parents punish you when you acted out as a youth?
Okay, so what I want to say is because I'm not trying to get my parents in trouble and I am older now. But yo, the chancla was real. My mom would give me a look and that was it. Like, go to your room. Don't come out until I say so. But the chancla, like...
Yeah, we used to get threatened with a slipper.
Yeah, the slipper. That's a chancla.
Don't make me, you know.
Yeah.
How often would it get deployed? The threat
so
good
I'm
enough?
A good girl.
Deployed like it was a real weapon in war.
Like you. You know, I'm not saying she's going to die from it. I'm just saying, but
yo,
a little
but you
whack.
Felt it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You felt like you were going to die.
You didn't even need it. You just needed the threat of it.
Yes.
The threat of it was enough.
But for me, so I really do think I was a good child and I wasn't, you know, punished that much.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like once a year.
All right. I have one for you. Uh-huh. You've posted a lot about this online. No, this is good.
Okay.
And I'm genuinely asking. You have lost an amazing amount of weight.
Yes.
Not just a little bit, but hundreds of pounds.
Almost 300 plus.
Yeah. Almost 300 pounds. Okay. Number one rule for steady, successful weight loss is what?
Consistency. Because motivation will die quickly. You will not be motivated all the time. But if you're consistent, even if you slip off, but you continue to go back on to what you were
doing.
That's
a really good question.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
So just do that like every day? Do I need to mix it up like every other couple of weeks? If I'm doing hiking, now I need to do weightlifting or what?
So when I was really on it, because right now I'm not as on it. When I was really on it, I was going to the gym every day, hiking 4 times a week and being very strict with my diet. But that, I mean, I was like, I want to live. Like, I want to have fun. So now it's, you know, I have days where I may eat something that's not super healthy.
Yep.
But then I'm like, okay, I go extra 30 minutes on the treadmill or something, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just that balance, but also consistency. I might not go to the gym every day, but I like that answer
because I've asked that question to people that have had success like Laura mm-hmm. has. And it's always the number one thing that you need to do is control your diet. And that's the thing that I can do the least. Like, it doesn't sound like, give me a different answer. Try again.
Yeah.
I like the answer.
Or you
for
go through your mode or it's like, no, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. And then 7:30 rolls around. You're like, kind of hungry.
Amen. Amen. Starfish and coffee, hashtag ask Laura. What's your go-to food at Dodger Stadium?
So before the trash of a hot dog that they have now.
Correct.
Dodger
that
dog.
Bad, huh?
I think Laura and I get along.
It's gross. I love the helmet nachos, but the carne asada helmet nachos.
Sure.
That's my go-to. And a good margarita.
Are you doing the fork or are you just going in there with your hands?
If I'm sharing fork, if not, just go
hands.
Let's get dirty. I'm going to a game.
By the way, there is something very, very enjoyable about a darty, right? The sun's up. You're in a good mood. You can wind it down later in the afternoon, Slee. That's a good way to do it.
Have the proper amount of rest.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like you can be done by 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, eat, go to bed, wake up, feel like nothing ever happened. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. I had a Dodger question too, but I kind of fall into the... I was more curious from a food perspective. You get one drink at Dodger Stadium. What are you getting? You getting a beer or something?
Margarita. I don't do beer anymore. So
because of the calories?
No, because I don't do carbonation period anymore.
Okay.
But, dude, a margarita. And if you
So if we're doing a funnel, we're going to fill it with margaritas for you.
down. We have that on July 15th, right? We have the event that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Softball, I was like, right?
Yes, the softball event. And I told Chris, I was like, I might not go because that's my birthday. So I don't know. He's like, oh, no, you're going. And I was like, uh-oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
No, this is all hands on deck, right? Yeah. Everybody's got to go. We'll celebrate your birthday together.
Yep.
We'll have a little menudo and
some
margaritas and carne asada nachos.
I'm down.
I know a dive bar right near the park, so we should just go there after the game.
I'm starving right now.
Oh, I know which one.
Talked about burrito earlier.
Sounded pretty good.
Carne asada nachos.
One more here. You want one more on the way out the door?
Yeah, let's go.
Sleep, since you brought it up. It's from 805. Laura, how would you describe the perfect taco?
Ooh. Okay, so for me, because I'm watching my weight, so don't come at me, okay? It's different now. But if I wasn't watching...
You get a cheat day.
So definitely full tortilla. I don't like the little baby ones. Like,
okay.
Okay? I love...
Corn or flour?
Oh, no, corn.
Okay,
what?
Good. Just want to make
flowers and burrito. Like, we've gone through this.
Yes.
So then al pastor.
Ooh.
Green sauce, because I'm a green sauce girl.
Me too.
Onion, cilantro, and guacamole. Ooh.
I think I found my kindred spirit. Yeah. I, by the way, everything like, yep. More of that, more of that, more of that.
Little lime on
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Lime. Yeah. So,
yeah. Done. Yeah. By the way.
This... Radishes on the side?
Ooh. Oh, sure. Pickled or just raw?
Raw.
Yeah. See? Raw. Okay. Hey, let's talk after the show. Let's figure some things out after. I need some recommendations along the way. All right, it's the first week without winning time. Jeannie Buss did go to Twitter to talk about the series. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. So we just had a moment here. So you are kind of on the fence, Al. When you tell me something, I'm listening, but you know, we'll see. Okay. I'm going to have to. Everything that came out of Laura's mouth right there is things that I like. So if she said to me, "Hey, Trav, you know where I think you'd really like is this place," I think that she's on the list. Just saying.
I'm that good.
Yeah.
Give the suggestions and let's go try it out.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, when are we going to our spot? We still need to figure that out. Where the, what
let's
was
go this
name?
Week.
Was it Muhammad? Was that
yeah,
his name?
Muhammad. Yeah, Muhammad. Let's go this week.
Okay. I'm going to Dodger game on Wednesday afternoon. Little day game, little day action.
Mm.
Yeah. Hopefully they can beat Arizona this time. It's 2 out of 3 they
That's
lost
right.
to them
now
last time.
Now we got to figure it out. So probably maybe Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we got to get down there. We got to try some dolma.
Do they have green sauce on dolma? Is that something that I can go together with? Is
yes.
that how that's going to go?
To you and your family.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Lake Balboa and Solomon. Solomon, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of things about, you know, Arizona and you know, the Suns and Dallas. First of all, regarding Chris Paul, I know this is going to sound a little hard. He and James Harden. There's your starting back court for your old washed up guys because, man, I think they're close to done. They were both of them god awful in these playoffs, at least, you know, for the latter part of it as far as Chris is concerned. And James Harden had one good game. And as far as Phoenix, the way they played that game 6, you almost felt like, you know what, we'll just go home, take care of business, and wrap this up. And I go, guys, sometimes you can't turn on the switch like you think you can. And I had a sneaky feeling about Dallas. I didn't think they were going to do that kind of beatdown. My mouth dropped. I couldn't check into the third quarter, and I saw that score. And I said, 27 points halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, it was extraordinary, Solomon. Thanks for checking in. There's nothing that's a worse idea for a team that does not have a pedigree of winning than to try and throw the switch, right? The teams that can throw switches are teams like the Warriors, are teams like the Kobe Shaq Lakers that you can kind of just kind of float through for a month here or there and, you know, decide, okay, it's go time, but we've played
KD with the Warriors.
Sure, we've played together for a really long time. We understand each other. We do this. But the Suns with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, it's a couple of years, and it hasn't – I mean, it's been successful, but it hasn't been ultimately successful. I don't know if it was a throw the switch thing.
I don't think it was a switch thing.
It just felt like a, okay, we're back where we were. This is a big stage. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to win. Mm-hmm. We're the better team. And if we don't, they're going to start saying it again. And that pressure or intense, whatever it is, starts to build up. And Luka's in there with this, hey, I'm the best player out here. I'm going to find a way to do this. And if we don't, it's not going to be because I don't play well. It's because I don't have enough help. And it's just that difference in perspective.
Yeah, that more goes against Chris Paul. I think it goes less on the Phoenix Suns. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
DeAndre,
but he's their heart and soul. He's their guy.
He is, but that stigma is not the Phoenix Suns. It's Chris Paul. Chris Paul has the stigma of being up 2-0 in a series and losing 5 different times. Chris Paul has the stigma of losing 4 Game 7s in a row. It's not technically – that stigma doesn't really associate as close to the Phoenix Suns. He's doing it right now because he's with the Suns. But I think, you know, ultimately last night was one of those games where Milwaukee, let me give you an example. Milwaukee got off to a good start yesterday against Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Boston ended up blowing them out by 20-plus points or whatever that was. Dallas got off to a good start against Phoenix, and then Phoenix looked shook. They looked like, yeah, I don't know how to get out of this. That 10-point lead is now 12. The 12 is now 17. The 17, before you know it, is 22.
30.
Boston, it was, okay, we're down early. We came back. We tie the game. Now they go on their own little run. The Suns, to me, looked like a team that we just got hit over the head, and we don't know what to do or how to stop this.
When you said it, Al, I literally jotted it down because I wanted to make sure I had it right. He's lost four game sevens in a row, Chris Paul.
Four game sevens in a row.
He has lost a series five times in which he had a 2-0 lead.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, you were playing for the Clippers that choked a lot of times. But this is why we bring up Doc Rivers in those situations.
100%. But, Al, it's yes to that. But he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That I understand having a losing, but I mean, four in a row, 1-3 would be bad, but you just kind of caught a break. Yeah, somebody else stepped up 0-4 or four in a row, and two or five different times you've blown a 2-0 lead. That is unbelievable. That's just not bad. That is almost inexplicably bad. How can a player, Chris Paul is one of the great point guards of all time. He is, full stop. But that is just an unbelievably terrible track record.
You want me to try to play defense for Chris Paul? You want me to try to play some defense for him? And I don't know if I'll do a good job at this, but he was with the Rockets. James Harden was his teammate. Harden's not also one of those guys that you would think, hey, this guy's going to close it up.
Mm-hmm.
When James Harden has that opportunity, in those big-time moments he's going to shine, this is when he shines the most. No, that's actually not the case. That final game they played for Philly, he was 0-for-2 in 22 minutes, and he had zero impact in the second half. Before that, he was with the Clippers with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Doc Rivers and some of these other guys that, again, have this perception of them. Maybe this
weren't they the better team in a couple of those?
Maybe this is the better way to explain it. Chris Paul being the best player on a team is not good enough to win a championship.
Okay, but Al, we're not talking about these are all in the finals. This is 2-0 leads, first round, second round, third round.
See what I'm saying? That we're overhyping Chris Paul. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I understand it, but he's one of the great players of his generation. If you're talking about the NBA over the last 10, 12, 15 years,
yep.
Chris Paul is one of the other than LeBron, Kobe, KD, we're in Chris Paul territory all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. We are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not down to names 20 through 25. We're to names 5 through 8. It's Chris Paul, too. Four in a row? Five times you've blown a 2-0 lead? I get, like, LeBron's numbers just on right that he's lost series. He loses in the finals more than he wins. Like, there are some, but it's not to zero. It doesn't make any sense.
This isn't a good example, but I'm going to try explain it as best as I can. When the Bucks won last year, who's the best player on that team?
On the Bucks?
On the Bucks.
Giannis.
And is it even remotely close? Like, it's not even close. You are actually sitting here. I know you're doing this more and more now. That's the best player in the NBA.
I think so.
Your opinion, and you can most definitely make a case for that. The second best player was Chris Middleton on that team with the Bucks. I'm not telling you Chris Paul's Chris Middleton. I'm not trying to make the comparison. What I'm trying to say is that I think it's become clear when the Lakers won their championship, AD was the second best player. Bron is not a conversation with Chris Paul. There's no conversation there. Giannis is not a conversation with Chris Paul there, I do feel like, in my opinion, right? Like, that's a completely different conversation.
I'm with you.
Go down the list. If you go look back at some of the Warriors championships, it's KD. Now, Steph, you can say, okay, well, if Steph Curry was the best player on another team, you might be in some trouble there because you need that. You need all those pieces to work the right way.
You just got to the best guy, I think, because Steph Curry, again, transcendent player, right? Deadlock cinch Hall of Famer. In the finals, specifically in the finals. Steph has been less than his best, right? Andre Iguodala was an MVP. KD was an MVP. Klay.
He had the huge turnover against the Cavs in that Game 7.
Yep. Klay against OKC in the semifinals that year. Klay pulled their ass out of the fire, right? It was Klay that did that. There are some moments where his team has won in spite of him not being an A+. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that Steph never has a bad game. He does. But his team still finds a way to win. That's the difference, right? That Chris Paul, when he plays poorly, the team is just stuck. Just completely stuck. And it's not like Devin Booker is a bum. It's not like DeAndre Ayton is a bum. Those guys can go.
They were all awful yesterday.
That Devin Booker, the Ayton thing is kind of trippy, right? He got into it reportedly with Monty Williams when he was asked. He only played 17 minutes. He wasn't in foul trouble. He only played 17 minutes. And when asked why, Williams said that's internal. Apparently, they had a heated exchange on the sideline.
Yeah, I wish these guys are going to have their exit interviews, and you know a lot of this stuff's going to come out. I'm curious what happened there, because he was such a big piece, and then all of a sudden in Game 7 he was basically non-existent.
Let's try one here.
He had 5 points.
Yeah, he only played
17 minutes.
You
said Luka had more points than Devin Booker, more assists than Chris Paul, more rebounds than DeAndre, and more steals than Bridges.
Yeah. Is that good? It seems good to me.
I just saw the stat. They were showing it up there when Ramona.
And by the way, they're not just more. He has more points than Devin Booker by 218 to 164. Okay, that's not close. He has more rebounds, 69 to 57, than DeAndre Ayton. That's not that close.
You're right.
He's got more assists than Chris Paul, 49 to 40. That's not that close. More steals, 15 to 9, than Mikal Bridges. That's not that close.
The runner-up defensive player of the year.
Okay.
Think he's got a shot
against
the Warriors?
Can I throw a blasphemy?
Think he's got a shot against the Warriors?
Sure he does.
Okay, but when you say sure he does, I'm with you on the sure he does.
I'll give him 1 in 3 chance. Yeah. I mean, do I think he's
going to
win?
Why do I feel like the Warriors not are going to dismantle them, that I don't think it's going to be that good of a series?
I don't think what he does is super dismantleable, if that's a word, right?
But it's not him. It's just... you got to have weapons.
I agree.
And he only – and listen, I know yesterday you're going to sit – Jalen Brunson, Spencer Dinwiddie, but can those dudes do it?
They're going to have to – not necessarily him. Somebody's going to – they just beat the best team in the league. They just beat the best team in the league on the other team's floor.
I would have picked
the Warriors
to beat the Suns in a 7-game.
Maybe, but the Warriors did not have the best record in the league. The Suns did. Luka beat them more or less by himself. He got some help from, but it wasn't like, hey, these two guys went crazy. It was Luka. So, yeah, I'll give him 1-3, 1-4 at the worst. What do you think it is? Is it 1-10 in your opinion?
I think they win in 6 at most.
If they played this series 10 times, how often does Dallas win it?
7 games.
Warriors win it 7 out of the 10 times?
7 out of 10.
Yeah, so that's one. It's almost 1 out of 3. They're kind of giving it the same way I am. That leaves 3 for the – 1 out of 3, same.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's not a super long shot. It's not a favorite, but you're talking about a team. If you gave me 1 in 3 chance to do anything, I'll take my shot.
Well,
Two times it's going your way, one's going mine.
There's you're playing with house money, literally. Nobody thought you were going to get this far. And Luka probably in his mind is sitting back saying, every time I step on the floor, I'm the best player. He's going to come into the series against the Warriors. He will be the best player in the series.
Okay. This is blasphemous.
I don't want to say it's not even close. It's kind of not even close. He's the best player in the series.
I don't think there's any. Yeah, no, I don't think it's close. I think you can say, I mean, Steph, historically, sure. But right now, no, Luka. Okay, blasphemy or no. Mm-hmm. They're going about it different ways. Is he doing the LeBron thing? I mean, taking a team that has no business being this far into the playoffs. If he beats the Warriors, he's going to drag one of the most mediocre NBA teams of all time into the finals. With that Warriors team, or excuse me, the Cavs team early
against
in LeBron's
the Pistons,
game. That was not a very good team. Once in a while, you get a team that's not great. This would qualify as one of those teams that's not great.
Yeah, you would, because you're doing
that's
it in
LeBron
the Western
Conference.
Of course, you're doing it in the Western Conference, too. You know, you're doing it, you're having to go through Hall of Famers everywhere you turn to get there. He wasn't a part of the first 3 games against the Jazz, and they, you know, obviously eventually win that series. But yeah, you are in that territory. We just watch Winning Time, right? I don't want to overhype this, but Magic carried the Lakers in Game 6.
Sure.
Luka plays a game similar to Magic and Bron, that guys like that, hey, I'm going to do everything. I got to do a little bit.
Just
need a little help.
I need Michael Cooper to make some free throws.
Need a little help.
I need Norm to knock down a couple of jumpers. Just give me a little bit.
I'll handle the rest.
Yeah, it's fun. It's the beginning of it, too. Mm-hmm. So many of these guys were past the halfway point on their – this feels like the
beginning.
Then
you got Tatum on the other side.
He's pretty darn good, too. Yeah, we went third. Markel Fultz or Tatum. That was a thing that happened.
Even Boston had the number one pick, traded down to number three, gave Fultz to the Philadelphia 76ers, and still got Tatum.
The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, we'll get to the Dump nuggets here in just a second. But very quickly, I want to read you this tweet out because I think it's really good. This is from L. Pucel 2020, and it says, listening to you and Sliwa talk about Chris Paul makes me appreciate Kobe. He found a way to close out series. Remember 2010 championship series against the Celtics. Kobe and Chris Paul are in different categories. They're in different categories historically and everything else. But the point, Kobe had bad games in the finals. It's not that you can't have a bad game. It's you can't have a bad game every time it comes around to those big moments. Steph Curry had a bad game. Magic Johnson had bad games. LeBron has had bad games. It happens, but usually it's not zero and however many times you've tried it. It's a couple against a bunch of how many times you've tried it. His is a zero.
I was looking at, you know, we were talking about big time. We were talking about the LeBron performance back in, I think it was 2007, something like that. So that game five in Detroit, game goes to overtime. Actually goes to double overtime. 48-9-7 was Bron's stats. And the only reason why I mention it, it's because he took out the Detroit Pistons. Remember, this is a Pistons team, Richard Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, all these guys. He took them out. Luka took out the Phoenix Suns.
Yes, he did.
Took them out. Now you got the – remember when Bron did this as well? KD was on the Cavs, KD was on the Warriors, and they're playing in the finals. Remember that game one where he had
the
like
J.R. Smith game,
the 58-8.
Yeah,
and he's like, I can't do anything. Yeah. This is all I can't do anything else. That's kind of what Luka's going to have in front of him going up against the Warriors. Not to that extent because KD's not there, but you know what I'm talking about.
And that game that you just talked about, and I'm not talking about getting 50, but that game of, look, I did everything I can do. The rest of you need to do more.
Got to give me something.
That's the game Paul hasn't done. That game of, look, I went 33-16-10.
In that moment.
Where are you? That's the one that's missing.
If he had a game seven moment like last night where he had those stats that you mentioned, but Devin Booker only had 11, then the attention would have shifted towards Booker.
No question. On this day in 1980, speaking of that Magic game in game six of the finals, today, 1980, so that's 42 years
ago. I was there.
I'll
never forget it.
Game six, he scored 42 points, the most by a rookie in NBA Finals history. They win the NBA title against the Philadelphia 76ers.
I was covering the Sixers that year.
Finals MVP, 42-15-7, and he's still the youngest player with a 40-point game in Finals history by a margin of 3 years. Still is.
Oh, my.
Happened 42 years ago.
Is it just me, or does that hit differently today because we just watched Winning Time last week?
Sure.
That of course it does. Kind of that whole era is coming up again the way it probably had it for a lot of people because of Winning Time?
It feels prescient because it's happening with Chris Paul at the same time. The chasm between presence in big moments, and maybe nobody had more presence in a big moment than Magic. Mm-hmm. Magic was just supremely confident. Now, he had bad games
he
in
did.
Big moments.
By the way,
absolutely he did.
There was the year he missed the free throws and ended up losing to the Celtics.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
game seven.
But it was like, okay, I come back next year and boom, I'm gonna gut you. Or I've already gutted you before, and this is just that's the difference. That game or games like that don't seem to come around. The Reds did something we haven't seen very often. They threw a no-hitter over the weekend and lost to the Pirates. That's fun. How'd you guys do today? Well, we threw a no-hitter. Oh, yeah, it was a final score. Oh, we lost 4-2. How's that happen?
I think that should count as a win. I think for them,
does it count as I know that by the letter of the law, it's a no-hitter because they didn't get any hits. But does it count as a no-hitter? Is it a no-hitter when
you got to win the game.
I think so, right?
Yeah, you have to win the game.
Feels like it. You feel good about that?
Where is Cincinnati right now?
They're not very good.
9-26.
Is that bad?
13 back from the Brewers.
You know who would have loved, you've been 100% happy throwing a no-hitter and losing a game? This guy.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Hey, I did my job. Yeah. I don't know about the rest of you.
You guys got to pick it up a notch.
You guys need to do a little bit better. That's a weird deal. Hunter Green, 7 1/3 innings combined, no hitter, but they still lose. Angela Kinsey, Jenna Fisher, who are Angela and Pam in the office. They said that the series almost went on for two.
Right? Jenna Fisher
is at the top of my list. I'm a huge, huge Jenna Fisher fan. Love Jenna Fisher. two more seasons. Quote, I mean, the idea of slowly kind of losing people, it just felt like, I don't know, it just felt sad and wrong. They pulled the plug at the right time, considering if there could have been two more, you could argue they should have pulled it a little bit.
Two seasons before, earlier.
Yeah.
But you know what? What are you supposed to do? Like, in that situation, the amount of money that's coming in, isn't this the case with every one of these shows? You have that much, or even one of these movies that you decide, yeah, let's make another one. Let's make another one. What is Fast and Furious? What are they on?
12? 14?
There
you
go,
10?
Have you? How many have you watched?
Zero.
Okay, I haven't watched one either. Nine. I haven't watched one either. Yeah. Okay? So I just say that they're probably making so much money off each one of these. It's so tough to say, hey, I'm going to stop now when you know the check's going to be coming. I think The Office was in the same position.
They did it right. Drew Brees, there was a report over the weekend. New York Post said
you
that
got him. I think you got him fired.
He got himself fired with that playoff performance with the Raiders and the Bengals. He was dreadful in that game. He's apparently out at NBC, according to the New York Post.
Okay.
But he tweeted over the weekend, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let
Everything
you know.
Is an option.
He got fired by NBC, right? As I read this, this means I got fired by NBC.
Last week, when Tom Brady's signing his $6.4 billion deal to do news for or do the games for Fox, all you kept talking about was Drew Brees. So I feel like you have personally fired Drew Brees. You got Drew Brees fired.
He's not the only one. You know who else was really bad at that? Joe Montana. Mm. You know who else was really bad at that? Dan Marino. These are not – it's not unprecedented that these guys that were extraordinary players, it's a totally different thing.
What did you not like from Brees?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked that. It's the same criticism I have for every analyst, regardless of sport or anything else. I want you to tell me something I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me something I go, oh.
Tony Romo calling out the play before it happens.
Tony Romo's great. You know who is my favorite right now? And I at least two or three times a game, I'm like, never thought
Aikman?
Of it like that. No, Oral Hershiser.
Oh.
Oral Hershiser is fantastic at that, where he says, well, the reason he was over here is because of the thing that happened two innings mm-hmm. ago that put – it's brilliant. That
and
you
Drew
just
Brees
don't,
did none of
Drew
that.
Brees is – it's 3rd and 11. I think they should throw the ball here. Yes, I agree. I think that they probably should throw the ball here. That's what he was bringing to the table. Mm. You know what it's time to do right now, Slee?
Yeah.
Super crosstalk. All right, Mace, so I saw you nodding in agreement when I was talking about my man, Oral Hershiser.
Yes, unbelievable.
Am I wrong?
No, great, great insight. In fact, years ago when I was doing a lot of Spectrum stuff, I got to do the studio host the night that Kershaw threw his no-hitter. Should have been a perfect game except for him,
Hanley Ramirez. Yeah.
Well, if it was you, Mason, you would have taken him out. I mean, so you wouldn't have thrown it at all.
But it was unbelievable to watch a game with Oral Hershiser while Kershaw was throwing. Then that big conference room over there, really cool. I learned a ton about pitching from Oral. He's great.
How was your weekend, fellas?
Excellent. But, you know, Trav, I heard you talking about the fact that you guys have been talking a lot about Chris Paul.
Yeah.
This is one of the main reasons why I think you're crazy to want to trade LeBron.
Okay.
Chris Paul is a Hall of Fame player for sure. I don't think he can be the best player on your team that it's going to win a title. LeBron is.
Agreed.
There's
sure.
a very small pool of those guys.
Right.
And if you've got one, I've heard Jeannie Buss say this about Kobe. If you get lucky enough to get one of those guys that can elevate in the big moments, you don't give him up. And you want to give him up.
Well, I know you keep going back to this. You keep talking about LeBron like this was LeBron 10 years ago. LeBron, I don't know if LeBron is that
Look
guy
at
anymore.
His stats this
I,
year.
I know that his points were good. You keep leaving out the fact that they were a bad team.
Right.
You keep saying star-driven town, look at his stats. All true.
Well, and he played 50 games.
He didn't play in as many games as you would probably expect. And the team wasn't good. And despite the fact that he was really good, the team wasn't good. And we were talking about Luka. We were talking about Kobe in these situations, Magic and all these guys, that there is a time where you can do what we're talking about. Just say, guys, get on my back. We're going. And then it doesn't last forever. And I don't know if he's that guy anymore.
Right. I would say that it's the rest of the team that's the problem. In particular, Anthony
can it not
Davis
be both
not
at the same time?
Available. Yeah, a little bit. But I wouldn't get rid of the guy that you know has a proven record of being able to do it.
Get on this.
Mike. Yeah, Mike, that's better. You sound like you got a tin can over there.
Try that, Mike. Yeah. It was like two strings.
You might be able to convince me better.
It was like
better.
A string and two cans.
That any better?
There you go.
Much better.
Why do we have this mic at all?
Because sometimes there are moments when we've had five people in
here. I know, but this mic has never worked until Taylor on Friday told me to get on it. So they did. They must have fixed it.
Yeah. You sound much, much better.
Yeah, you
sound much
better. Get rid of this mic.
Yeah.
It just no one uses it.
Yeah, Greg.
They all work.
How did this land on Greg?
Do you want me to go back on this one?
That one, Michael unplugs it and doesn't plug it back in.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, well, that probably has something to
do with it. I told Burr, he said he didn't participate much in the prep of the show today. And he said, well, what are your expectations for me today? I said, how about your A game? Your A game.
Or how about your available?
Availability. Present,
right? Present. Right.
This so annoys me. So we're talking along. Hey, Bergman, what do you think? I wasn't listening.
Why were you not participating?
Where were you?
Why were you not doing your job?
I mean, where were you?
We were probably talking about something really boring. So it's just kind of just lost
an honest answer.
Bergman got into this thing today that at one point on Friday, either you or I think it might have been you, were reading an article on
the air. That's great.
And Bergman's like texting me behind the scenes saying, "Oh my God, stop! We've got to stop reading this article." I'm like, what? Articles are great if they're interesting.
Well, it depends what they say.
When Ireland created was scintillating. I was completely wrapped up in it. And meanwhile, you are just throwing rocks at the glass house. When there is
a Greg Bergman show, which I'll be anxiously awaiting.
I cannot wait.
He can never have no guests ever, no calls ever, no read anything ever. It'll just be him talking.
I like this a lot.
Like opening up a newspaper and like reading it, you know, that's not the greatest of radio.
For a very long time, I was in that room.
Yeah, right. I was over there.
And I would always have that moment, hey, why don't we do this? And John, the answer I got back was, when you have your show, you can talk about whatever you want.
What'll be interesting about the Greg Bergman show, and again, I'm anxiously awaiting this.
Let's call it
the
Greg Bergman experience.
He hates guests. Yeah. He hates calls. He apparently hates source material. What is he going to talk about?
There are times for everything.
What are you going to talk about on the Greg Bergman experience?
I'm going to have fun. It's something
okay, good. All right, for 30 seconds. Right, be quiet.
No, 30 seconds.
Greg Bergman experience. Go.
You get nothing from me. Absolutely not. I'm not going to play into your game. You can look at that and go that Travis and Slee are welcome to help me out whenever they want to. You're not a part of this. It's totally fine. I'll just keep talking and talking about whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, well.
It's totally fine. Yeah, get your 30 seconds. Go ahead, John. I'm not going to sit here and read an article like you did. We were talking about like, oh, hey, Sam Amick said this today. Let me read from top to bottom of everything that he was saying. It's kind of nonsense to do things like that. To be completely honest with you, John, you just can't be sitting here reading an article over and over again.
That just earned you a bonus 30. Go!
He was getting into it.
Yeah.
I say give him the bonus 30.
Okay, give him the bonus.
Okay, when it comes to guests, you want me to just talk about our whole philosophy? That's fine.
Very quickly, and don't count this on as 30 seconds. Okay. Just the lead of the day, go.
The lead of the day? First of all, it was the Suns. The fact that they were the... Start laughing. The Suns got blasted. The Dodgers were pretty much terrible over the weekend. The Philadelphia Phillies just took it to them from bad offensively, bad defensively, bad mostly from Gavin Lux. You're making me
a little harder than it looks.
No, look, it is not that easy to do. But at the same time, like you're having conversations with people. This is a different type of station than what you guys are having me just talk by myself. I'm not a solo host. I never said that I was.
You made it though. By the way, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
You are clearly not a solo host.
I never wanted to be a solo host. I don't even need to be a host.
When I was
you want a different producer, we can do that too.
It's getting heated in here.
He would love it.
Effing happy Monday to you.
Greg, hold on.
I did not have enough coffee, by the way, for this.
Everything okay?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, did you have like something? Did you have an what happened with you and Dot this week?
Oh, no. Did you break up with Dot?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you have a fun totally weekend? Fine. What did you do?
On
Walk
Friday?
On the beach?
No, well, we did see Freddy 6 in Castaic Lake on the water.
What's Freddy 6?
Like Freddy, you know.
Friday the 13th, Freddy?
Yeah. Okay. Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Oh, at Lake Castaic?
Okay. At Lake Castaic, and there was a
big that's cool.
Green. Yeah, it was
that's
cool. Yeah. It was fun. Then I spent the day with my daughter on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We got some Legos.
I lost interest.
Yeah, see? This is what I'm talking about.
Sounds like a nice weekend, Greg. Sounds like a
very nice weekend.
No, I'm just being honest. I've lost interest.
Which is why I don't talk sometimes.
Well, that's part of, see, that's the number one rule against, you have to talk even when you have nothing to say. That's where the art comes in. That's where the high level BS gear comes in. Right? I have nothing to say, but I can talk as long as you want me to.
Yes.
That's the game.
So I was hearing you. You apparently don't like any pleasantries when you go to the grocery store. You just say, "I don't."
I'm okay with just, "How are you today?" I'm fine. How are you? And that's the end of
so
it.
So you don't talk to the Uber driver?
No, not really. Yeah. Not really.
He has sat in the front seat of an Uber.
I do
driver.
Sit in the front seat of an Uber.
I've done that.
Yeah, almost every time.
Under what circumstance?
Almost because I'm, I don't. So what are most Ubers? Are Priuses, Corollas, smaller
yeah,
cars?
Yeah, sure,
right?
Sure.
One fits super great in the back seat of those cars.
Well, if there's
so
ever
I get in the front.
If there's ever like three people, and I always say to the driver, "Hey, do you mind if I sit in front? Because I don't want to jam three people into the back."
Oh, yeah, no. But what about solo? Yeah, when you're by yourself,
I've
you don't
never
sit
been
in
solo.
I have.
Yeah.
Frequently.
What's the premise of that?
I don't want to. I don't fit in the back seat of a Corolla. It doesn't work out for me.
No, no, no. They scoot that seat up. You got
no.
Plenty
you.
Of space.
It's not true.
Am I the only
I feel
one
like a grizzly bear on a tricycle.
I only order Uber XL. I don't even want to get a Corolla.
I still get the Corolla.
Yeah. So do I. Yeah.
No. If I can save a couple of bucks here and there, I save a couple of bucks here and there.
One time in all of my Uber career has the guy said, "Oh, no, you need to get in the back." Only once has
they
kicked me back to the back.
Plus, they keep changing these Uber, like there's Uber X and then there's Uber.
The rideshare.
There's rideshare. Oh, I got
Nace, are you chatting it up with the person that's checking you out for the groceries? Are you guys going over?
I am.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
You know, here's the difference. So you were talking about this Amazon Fresh.
Have
you
gone to one?
I've not. Where you don't have to... Do you know this story, John?
Yeah, I heard it.
Where you don't have to check out. You just walk out with whatever.
Go in, all your groceries, and then leave.
So I always think, I went to Whole Foods and Trader Joe's over the weekend, and the one thing I noticed right away is that Trader
Joe's...
want
to spend more money on groceries?
No, Trader Joe's people are happy.
Sprouts was too crowded.
Trader Joe's people like their jobs.
They do.
I think Whole Foods people do not. I think Whole Foods people, since Bezos took over, have gotten cranky. There's not as much staff as there used to be. I think they've downscaled that in terms of human resources.
The prices.
I think Trader Joe's, though, is the place where people are having a good time. They're ringing their bell.
Can I give you an example, Trader Joe's?
Yeah, sure.
You ever go to In-N-Out, and most of the time you feel like the employees are happy there? You feel like
almost
hey, you know
every
what
time.
This is?
Yep.
Trader Joe's is kind of that at
it
the
is.
Grocery stores.
I bet they've got great benefits. I bet they pay a really good hourly rate.
I'm glad that the people that are working there are enjoying
and
their
Travis,
days.
You just don't like those people.
You want to get in and get out.
You're anti-friendly. Yes. Anti-friendly.
Yeah, I'm anti-niceties. No, I don't understand. For instance, how am I supposed to respond to this? I've got my groceries on the belt.
Yeah.
Right? And, looks like somebody's making something special today. I'm just making dinner. How do I respond?
You just say, no, it's not me. I'm just following orders.
Oh, you got a little honey-do list, huh? Yeah. It's like there's no way out of this. You know what I mean? Like you just now I'm fully engaged and I'll do it, but I just prefer to make this completely transactional.
Yeah,
why
not have some pleasantries between you and this?
I don't fully believe you.
It feels
I don't either. I think you're probably a very nice guy.
I am a very nice guy, and I follow the rules of society. I will if you engage with me, I will engage with you.
Okay.
But if you just are not feeling it, I'll sit here on an airplane, for instance.
Right.
I sit down next to you. You have your book open. I'm sitting there. I will not speak a single word to you other than if I got to get out to use the bathroom. That's excuse me.
We say hello.
Yeah. I always test the water.
Yeah.
I always say, hey, how's it going?
Do you really?
See what they come
I
at.
Do not. I what do not
they,
test the water.
What if the answer was, I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Then we're
yeah, we're done.
Six-hour flight to New York. We're done.
I put on my AirBuds. I watch whatever it is I'm watching on my phone, and I tune out everything around me. That's like for me. That's flying is a very private experience. What's that?
Who gave you a bat?
Yates gave me a bat. When he was in here one day doing a segment with me and Slee, he said he was going to Louisville, and he asked me if I'd ever been to the Louisville Slugger Factory. And
right.
I'd never had. He came back with this bad boy. It's got my name, Go Gauchos, engraved on the barrel.
Wow. Okay, now, Trav, here's the question. We have a charity softball game. Does the bat get used, or is it now a keepsake?
No, this is a keepsake. Yeah, this goes on a shelf in my little Zoom background. I'm hoping we never have to use those as regulars
hopefully
we used to.
Hopefully not, yeah.
But yeah, right? Not too bad.
No, it's actually very cool. Now, we're doing a baseball thing. I decided I'm going to just DH in our
Are you a hitter?
I'm a hitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you don't want to field ground balls? What are we worried about?
Can't track a fly ball.
John, you strike me as somebody that's played a little softball in your life.
A lot. Yeah. I played like every year until I was almost 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in a regular league?
Yeah, with a bunch of drunks.
John's going to do like
Was it a drunk league or was it a competitive league with beer?
No, much like my pickup basketball, the highlight of the event was immediately after deciding where we were going to get beers.
So that ball's hit into shallow center field.
I was an infielder.
Okay. But
I'm not messing around. I was playing shorter second.
Are you running back to catch it in shallow center field? You're letting drive. Yeah.
Do you think you're a shortstop for this team?
No, no. I'm not at this thing. It's happening on my actual birthday.
On July the 15th?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot.
Oh, wow.
And so, but if I was there, you never know. Some people take these things way too seriously.
Yeah, really.
So someone in it will
I'm going
take
Cap.
It.
I think Cap's going to come out
right.
fast. I think he's going to be competing.
He's going to be warming up and
stretching.
Jogging in the outfield. Stirrups, high socks.
Yeah,
he's going to slide at some point.
He's going to slide.
He's going to slide.
And it won't look like Trey Turner.
No. No, it won't. Sleeg, you could maybe go that way potentially. Not quite Cap level, but I could see you really thinking about it.
I won't take it too seriously. No? Have you ever done this with your basketball league that you mentioned?
Yeah.
So you get some drinks after?
Sure.
One time, we thought it would be a good idea. Why don't we get drinks before?
Also
for our basketball league game.
Basketball.
No, it's an awful idea. It's the worst idea you can do.
Oftentimes, we've had people show up before and we'll be like one short, and the decision is play 4-on-4 or go to the bar, and it's always go to the bar. Yeah, rather than get the work out there.
When my kids were little league age, I had an assistant coach whose line would line up perfectly with this. The job of the assistant coach is to try to get every practice canceled.
so we can
leave, send the kids home. You can go and have a few drinks or go get something to eat or one of those things. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
you'd
fit right in both these leagues.
Yeah, I'm playing first base. I've already decided.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
You can DH for me. I don't need to hit.
I will DH, yes.
I can't hit, and I'll sit over there. Anything you guys throw me, I'm going to catch it. So, where do you want to play?
I'm assuming you're going to pitch as well.
It's not, I mean,
I think it's
slow pitch softball. Yeah,
well,
right?
It's probably pitching your own team.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what we're doing.
No, I think first base is the right.
Third.
No running.
I'll go third.
John, you going to be in the middle of the infield?
If I'm there, yeah, sure.
Who's our center fielder on the scene?
Center
is it Kaplan?
It's got to be somebody
fielder.
Young. Yeah.
It's Kaplan.
Or somebody that takes themselves
Yates
seriously.
Can probably track
a
fly ball.
Yeah, but I think he's an infielder. I think he's a
I'll play center if I have to, and I'm not chasing anything. If the ball's in the gap.
Automatic double.
Yeah, the ball's in the gap. I'll get it in. I'll hit the cutoff, man.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to go take a little BP. Mason in Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.